All right. So let's start. Here's a question for you guys. We have this word, and this word is actually one of the greatest dilemma, one of the greatest conundrum, one of the greatest problem that humanity has. In this word has changed the course of history. Wars were started and even ended. Kingdoms rose and fell. Nations were united and divided. All because of this word. Do you know what that word is? It's four letters. Love. Because of love, this four-letter word, L-O-V-E, it has given someone life, and also because of love, some have taken their own life. You see, the thing is, love is something that we all long for. We all need. And love has given us so many problems, but love is something that you and I most desperately need and most desperately crave. No one is exempt from this. All of us, and you will hear me this weekend say this phrase over and over again, we all need to love, and we all need to be loved. You get that? Tell your friend, you need to be loved. Tell your seatmate on your right, on your left, you need to be loved.
You need to be loved.
And you need to love. Here's the thing. Who here could you say is in love? Who here would say he is or she is in love? No? But here's a question for all of us. So here's how I preach. I kind of want kind of like an interaction for all of you, so some of you. But here's the thing, before we continue, and I would want to know more about what your idea is in this word. Give me one word, right? One word. How would you define love? How would you define love? Love. Okay, how would you define love in one word? Who could answer that? She said what?
Nothing.
How would you define love?
Passion.
Passion. That's good. What else?
Sacrifice.
What else? How would you define love? Don't be scared, I don't bite. What? Protect? To protect? Is that good? What else? How would you define love? What is the word, when you think about love, what is the word that comes to your mind?
Heart?
Huh? Heart? That's good? No, there's no wrong or right answers. Just wanted to get your mindset on this. Because here's the thing. You are living in a world where it has its own concept of love. The world tells you what love is, but you have to decide what it truly, really means. Because here's the thing, the world claims to know what love is, but here's the truth, you can never really know what love is until you know who God is. You get that? You will never know what true love means until you know who God is. This series, this Love Indeed, I hope we would be able to continue to question and hopefully give some answer on what is love and how do we love. With this love indeed and in truth, our main goal is to see, to give you just a glimpse, just a peek of what love is, and how do we live that out. So here's the thing. Love is not just about dating somebody. Love is not just about your feeling when you have a when you see your crush or when you have a girlfriend or a boyfriend. That is not what we're talking about, because true love is deeper, grander, richer, more magnificent than you and I could ever imagine. And we are the people. We have the greatest potential to give that love out. You can show the world what true love is. Why? Good thing you asked, because that's what we're going to go through this weekend. So, in 1 John 3:18, it says, "Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth." In 1 John 4:8, it says, "Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love." You see that truth? Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. This verse gives us a warning and a truth that if we don't love God, that if we don't love, we don't know God. A person who has truly experienced what love is a person who can know God. Why? Because the verse is telling us, because God is love. The ultimate definition of love is in God. If you could think of a word that will truly define love, the Bible says it's God. He is the ultimate essence of love. He is the ultimate definition of love. It's not the other way around, where how would you define God? Love. No, that's not the thing. But how can you define love? Look at God. Here's the thing. Science defines love in different ways. If you're talking about biology, love is just for reproduction or for making babies, right? If we're just talking about psychology, love is about your need of acceptance and togetherness. If you're talking about chemistry, love is about the brain chemistry that shoots off pleasure sensors and lowers pain sensors in your brain. They say that when you're in love, your brain acts as if it's on cocaine, right? So you have here different definitions of love, and even different philosophers and different poets have tried to answer this great, great dilemma. What is this love? Why is this love so perplexing? Why has this love so moved so many people? There are so many poems, there are so many songs, there are so many things that have been done in the name of love. What is it? The Bible says, do you want to know the definition of love? Look at God. If you really want to define love, look at Him. Because here's the thing, I want you to see, love is so great. Love is not just a word that we can throw around and we cannot just take for granted. Now, hopefully, you're getting to understand that, because we cannot love in deed and in truth if we don't know what love is. To get that? So that's just the introduction. So before we can continue, let's pray, and then I'll lead us in a short word of prayer. Father, we're very thankful for tonight. Thank you, God, for just the time that you have given us. Lord, there is no accident. You have always planned this with your perfect purpose, perfect will, that we will be here tonight. There is no accident why we are sitting where we are right now, because Lord, you want us to know you more. You want us to be loved by you and to love you with all our heart, soul, and mind. Lord, we pray that in this couple of time that we will be together, Lord, we just pray that may you continue to work in us, stir in us, even rebuke us, convict us, Lord, what is love, and that we could be standing in this love. The foundation will be in your love, and that we would be able to show this love to the people around us. Thank you, God, for all that you have done and with all that you will do. In the name of your precious Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. So, today, I want you to see this. The excellence of love. The excellence of love. I want you to have a great picture, a great, at least, foundation of the love that God is showing to us. This is not any other, that this is not just a shallow and muddy picture of love, but this is a love that defies logic, that defies reason, that this is a love that had God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. This is a love so excellent, no words can ever fully, truly describe it. And I want you to see, to be amazed of this love. My time here will never be enough, but I want you to step on this journey. I want you to see, I want you to take a leap of faith. What is this love? What is this kind of love? And so we're going to go through 1 Corinthians 13. Do you know that verse? Do you know the chapter? 1 Corinthians 13 is the love chapter, right? And they always talk about this, but I want you to see how love is so excellent and in being described by Paul. So, let's go to 1 Corinthians 13. Can we all read this all together? 1 Corinthians 13, 1 to 3. Ready? Read. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. We're going to read all of 1 Corinthians 13, but we're going to go through paragraph by paragraph. So what is so great about this chapter? What is the background of this chapter? In 1 Corinthians 13, this was written by Paul because he wanted to show the people, the Christians in Corinth, the supremacy of love. Back in those times, imagine living back in 2,000 years ago, when the church was still starting. There were a lot of complaints in their church. There were a lot of criticisms. There were a lot of confusions. Why? Because people were trying to outdo one another. Because they have this, what we call spiritual gifts. And they were saying that they were better than other Christians. Why? Because of the gift that they have. Everyone wanted the gift of speaking in another language. Or they wanted this gift, this spiritual gift of healing the sick. Or even giving prophecies of telling what the future holds. They wanted to be better than everyone else because they were saying, wow, how great is that gift? People were looking up to those people who have those kinds of specific gifts. They didn't know of the greatest gift that God has given, wasn't speaking in tongues, wasn't healing the sick, wasn't telling the future. The greatest gift that God has given is not singing in front. It's not going to be teaching or preaching. It's not going to be what you do that impresses other people. That's not the greatest gift that God has given. The greatest gift is love. And Paul gives us arguments why this is better than what the Corinthians were fighting and clamoring for. Paul said that this about love. Even if he can speak all the languages, and even the languages of angels, but if he doesn't have love, he's only a noise that doesn't amount to anything. Have you ever heard a cymbal just play by itself? Right? Just like, and you play that over and over and over again. What is it? It's noise. It's useless noise. Right? Or a gong that plays by itself. What is it? It's useless noise. If the instrument doesn't contribute to the harmony of other instruments, they're just unnecessary noise. Here's the thing. If we don't have love, we are useless to other people. We are useless noise to other people. Paul gives another illustration. Even if you can predict the future, even if you know all the mysteries and the knowledge of everything there is to know, even if you have the strongest faith that even can move mountains, even if you have all of this and you don't know how to love, if you don't know love, what is Paul saying? You are nothing. Even if you have given everything to the poor, even if you have given yourself to volunteer, even to be a martyr, and your body would be burned, what is he saying? If your motivation is not love, you have gained nothing. Why? What is he saying? What Paul is saying is this. If you are doing, and for all that you will do at church or even for other people, love is the only acceptable motivation. Why do you do what you do? If you cannot answer that with love, then you're just useless noise. If you're not bringing harmony to other people, then all you are doing is bringing attention to yourself. And we're just useless noise. If you're doing something for a friend, or giving to charity, if you're volunteering into a community service, if you're preaching, if you're teaching, if you're singing, if you're playing any instruments, if you do anything that is not out of love, you are only getting people's attention to yourself. What you're saying is, everything is about me, myself, and I. What does that do, really? If you get people's attention to yourself because of how good you are, because of your gifts, you even do good to other people so that what happens is that so people could just notice you. But what good does it really do? You're not really helping other people, you're helping yourself to feel good about yourself. That's not love. When there is love in what we do, That's when our actions have value. Why? When you can love by not focusing on yourself, but your focus on the object of your love. You serve people not so that they will say how good you are, but simply you serve people because you love God and you love people. When we get that simplicity in our lives, we can be like Paul. We can be free as a bird and bold as a lion to serve God and to serve people, to love God and to love people around us. When does that start? When it's not about you anymore. Love is the only motive that's acceptable. So when you're doing something, even when you're just studying, even when you're washing the dishes, even the menial things in life, if it's not out of love, it's useless. What I'm telling you is this kind of love is not just a love that is shallow. This kind of love is a love that doesn't think of myself, but it's a self-sacrificial kind of love. When we say we love someone, we all want to be reciprocated, and we get offended if they don't give us what we want in return. That's not love. What we're talking about is a love that is beyond what we see, beyond our reasoning, beyond our logic. This is what love, this is the love that God wants for us. This is what we call agape love. It's a love that gives itself away, that sacrifices oneself, but also absorbs the pain of being rejected and taken for granted. You get that? And this is the love that we want. This is love indeed and in truth. Agape love is a kind of love that gives itself away. A kind of love that gives itself away but absorbs the pain of being rejected and taken for granted. This is the love that God has for us. And this is the love that God wants His people to have. This is the only kind of love that brings our actions into something that this world desperately needs, desperately craves for. Number one, we've seen that love is the only thing that leads our actions into something of value. Number two, love is more than a feeling. And this is where we go read this familiar verse. Can we all read this? Next. Wait, before that, there's a quote by Mother Teresa into when our actions actually become something of value. If Mother Teresa, if you don't know, has taken care of the poor and the orphans in so many regions of the world. And this is what she has to say about doing good. Faith in action is love. And love in action is service. By transforming that faith into living acts of love, we put ourselves in contact with God Himself and with Jesus our Lord. What is he saying? Unless you can put your faith, your beliefs, your Christianity into love, and unless you can put that love into serving other people, not serving yourself, that's the only way we can get to know God and His Son, Jesus Christ. That's the only way we can get into contact with God Himself and with Jesus our Lord. Why? Because this is the kind of love that God has for us. And we'll try to go with this verse. And this is the verse that I really want you guys to see. Love is more than a feeling. Can we go next? Can we all read this? Ready? Read. So what we're saying here is that love is more than a feeling. Love is more than the things you feel. When love is more than when we're trying to define love, here's how Paul did this. He gave us not a list of things that you will feel when you're in love with someone, but this kind of love shows how we relate to one another. If you can see, this list is not about the way you feel when this beautiful girl or this handsome, cool guy comes in contact with you. This describes a person. This describes who truly loves. Let's try to go through it. When it says love is patient, it means you know how to wait. Instead of him discussing the things that you feel when you're in love, it discusses a person that is in love. Do you get that? It describes the character of a person. So love, when you are in love, you know how to wait. Love is kind. You know how to show gentleness and goodness to others. You're affectionate and tender. Love does not envy or boast. You don't envy at other people's happiness. Instead, you rejoice in other people's achievements. You don't need to parade your accomplishments. You don't act superior to other people. Love is not arrogant or rude. Someone who loves is not in vain or try to one-up other people. You don't have any sense of entitlement. You are not rude. You know how to act in front of people. You know how to respect other people, even if you think they don't deserve it. You know how to act with the people around your life. You know how to respect your parents. You know how to respect your siblings. You know how to respect your friends, your bosses, and even your enemies. Love does not insist on its own way. Love is not selfish. You do not only think of the things that will make you happy, even if it means hurting other people in the process. Love is not irritable or resentful. You are not easily provoked or angered by other people. You do not live for your own happiness, but for others. You can easily forgive and you can live freely. Love does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. What is he saying? You don't rejoice when someone is found guilty or fallen into sin. You don't rejoice when someone, you are not happy when someone becomes miserable, but rather you grieve when one is fallen. Love bears all things. It means that you cover the sins, the imperfections, the fault of others. You don't publicize when someone has failed. You cover up with love. You cover it up with love. You gently walk with a person. Love believes all things. It's not being naive about things, but it means you don't discriminate others. You don't look at other people in a negative light. You don't question their motives, and you look at their good in their lives. I know that I'm giving you a lot of information, because here's the thing that I really want you guys to see. What Paul is saying here is this: a Christian will never be defined. You should never be defined by the things you do at church, by the ministry that you are doing, by how kind you are. you will be defined by the way you love. Because here's the thing, people really don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Love. This is what God, can we go back? This kind of character is what God is molding us to be. A people who know, a people who knows love and knows how to love. A people who would give their lives because of one word, because of love. This is the reason why God, this is how God is molding you, shaping you to be this kind of person, a patient, kind, a person who does not envy or boast, a person who is not arrogant or rude, who does not insist in his own way, who is not irritable and resentful, who does not rejoice in wrongdoing, who rejoices with the truth, who bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. This is Christianity, that God is molding you to be this person of love. It's not how good you are in singing. It's not how good you are in your gifts. It's not how good you are. It's not how much you give. It's how much you love that will ultimately define you. And that will ultimately, that God will ultimately mold you to be. This is true Christianity. And there is so much more to say, but here's the thing. When Paul says love never fails, Paul says that whatever you're bragging about, whatever gifts you have, those will fail, but love never will. What we're doing here on earth will cease to exist, but love will go on for eternity. We went to have a community service with my youth group, and they're called Market Street Missions. And what they do is basically they're not a church, but they're an organization that helps people who have been addicted to alcohol and drugs, who have basically ruined their lives because of the vices that they have gone through. People in that organization is defined by their love. Why? How? They know how to love people who are unlovable. Again, this is the hope that I have for my youth group and for our church, that we wouldn't be known by how great our gifts are, by how great our worship service is, by how great we preach, we teach, but how great we love other people. Because here's the thing, he is describing a man. He is describing, and this kind of love is something that you and I can never really be perfect on. This kind of love is something you and I can never really have. Because ultimately, look at this. He is describing a person that is greater than you and I. He is describing Jesus Christ. The reason why we can love is because of this. And we will study this more this weekend. It's because He loved us first. The reason why we can love others is because we can look at Christ and say, love is the greatest thing. So now, faith, hope, and love abide, these three. But the greatest of these is love. I know I kind of took a risk on getting this big and trying to explain this big chapter to you guys. And I know the risk is you being overwhelmed by so many words, by so many descriptions, by so many things. But the reason why I did this is just as an intro, I want you to see the kind of love that we will be talking about. This agape love will be richer, deeper, grander than any kind of love the world will show us. This kind of love will be so much greater than the love than what your boyfriend or girlfriend will show you. This kind of love will be greater than any love that even your parents can give you. This kind of love is the love that we all long for and crave for and desire. This kind of love is a love that has brought Jesus Christ from heaven down to earth to die on that cross. This kind of love changed the world and turned it upside down. This is agape love. It's a kind of love that gives itself away and absorbs the pain for the sake of others. This kind of love says, instead of you existing for me, this kind of love says, I exist for you. This love is a kind of love that says, I love you and I will commit myself to you. This kind of love is the most beautiful thing that we can ever experience. It's the kind of love that God showers us every single moment, every single day, every single hour of our lives. This is the kind of love that God Himself has for you. That's why Paul is saying, so now, faith, hope, and love abide, these three, but the greatest of these is love. Greater than anything that you will see, greater than anything that you will experience, this kind of love. Behold, look at this. Love is the reason why God created the world. Love is the reason, the principle that holds the universe in harmony. Love is the reason you're here. Love is the reason why He created you and me. Love is the reason He came down for sinners. Love is the reason and will define our relationship with God. Tim Keller said this, I am so flawed that Jesus had to die for me, yet I am so loved and valued that Jesus was glad to die for me. This is a love like you've never experienced before. And if you are sitting here and you don't want that kind of love, and you care nothing about that kind of love that God is showing you, you're missing out. This kind of love is, I am in no right, I have no qualifications to describe this because I cannot. Oh, look at this kind of love. Amazing love. How can it be that you, my Christ, should die for me? Here is what I wanted to show you in this first night. This is no ordinary kind of love. And this is the love God is showing you, and this is the love that God wants you to show others. A love that doesn't exist for me, but a love that is willing to commit himself to others. And I know this is overwhelming, but that's just what I want you to see. Do you get where we're going? Hopefully, I just gave you a glimpse, and we'll expound on this with the stories of God's love tomorrow, Sunday, and on Monday. All right? When I end in my youth group, I always ask them, do you have any questions? It's okay. I think we have time, right? A little more time. Do you guys have any questions? And that's awesome question. Agape love is what is the kind of love that we'll be talking about, and we'll explore more about that in this weekend. But again, agape love is this. It's a kind of love that gives myself away. But it's also the kind of love that absorbs the pain of others. Do you get what I mean? It absorbs even taking for granted of others. It's a kind of love that says, you do not exist for me. I exist for you. Look at that. It's a kind of love that doesn't use people. It's a kind of love that is even willing to be used by people. And if you want a real definition of that, look at Christ and how he loved. This is the kind of love that he wants you to have. Get that? It's unlike anything that we have ever seen. And we will talk more about that this weekend. Anyone else? I don't bite, I don't think. Anyone else have a question? All right. Awesome first night with you guys. Hopefully, we can get to know more. And if I ask questions, please answer me, and you can ask questions back. Is that good? Let's pray. Father, we're thankful and grateful for you are. Thank you, God, for bringing everyone here safe, sound. And I know some of us are a little tired from the travel that we have. But Lord, we pray, I desperately pray that tonight may it have just given, if not answers, but more questions of what this kind of love is. That this love is truly unlike anything we have ever experienced before. This kind of love is something that is mind-shattering, is heartbreaking. Lord, we pray that this kind of love will move us into loving others just as you have loved us. We pray that we will experience this love so that we can truly love you. Lord, if we don't want anything, if we do not want to understand this kind of love, it might be saying what is in our hearts, that we don't want you. We don't want to know you. Because anyone who does not love does not know you. Father, we're thankful for the first night, and I pray that we open our hearts, open our minds, that we will continue to live and love you as you have loved us. In the name of your precious Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen and amen. Thanks, guys.
Let's all stand and we'll close with a song.
Sorry.